It's the Two Johnnies Podcast. Two Johnnies Podcast.
Two Johnnies recording a podcast. Hello, hello, hello.
You're welcome to the Two Johnnies Podcast, bringing you all the mayhem and news from the world of the Two Johnnies.
I'm Johnny B.
And I'm Johnny Smacks. Welcome to Podcast 123, coming to you from the mystical Nirvana at the foot of the Galtee Mountains, that is the Two Johnnies HQ in Kerr, County Tipperary. On this week's podcast, we have the crack with Trisha Lewis, a.k.a. Trisha's Transformation, who's on a mission to have us eating healthier and baiting the bulge.
He works hard collecting for the club lotto, and to be fair, some of that money even goes back to the club. Noel Furlong will be here with the news.
Like Fidelma in Glenroe, she loves a roll in the hay. Maureen is here with her mystery topic.
And as traditional as getting turned on by a video compilation of delicious sideline cuts, we round off the podcast with our
Yurts
and Dirts of the Week.
Before commencing with proceedings, matters arising from last week's podcast.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, stories coming in. Well, Matthew has emailed in to say, well, how's it going? On a night out in Cork, I met this woman, gave her the spiel, and we drank the night away as a man does. All going well. At the end of the night, we got a bit of food, and she says to me, do you want to come back to mine for a drink? Well, I was raring to go, thinking to myself I could be in for a good night. Anyway, I was steamboat, and to top it off, I polished off a fair bit of a bottle of brandy when I landed back at hers.
Jeez.
When I went to the bathroom, it dawned on me, this was her parents' house, and I asked her, where were they? She said they were heavy sleepers, paying no heed. On we went and got the job done. She was like a jockey on top of me, and I was like American Pharoah coming up the last few furlongs of the Kentucky Derby. All systems go. Full throttle. God, he's very romantic, isn't he?
He's got a way with words, this fella, boy. The Pharaoh.
Fast forward onto the next morning, and we went at it again. There was no fucking stopping us. I was in for an owl treat. Where she went to the land down under, if you know what I mean. Yes, we do, Matthew.
I reckon Matthew is definitely an author of some sort here. He's painting a lovely picture.
And by God, did she put in the effort. Sharp turn. We were under the sheets, all going well.
When he said, like, she went to land down under, I'm just going to be thinking, like, if anytime a woman does that now of the song, like, and comfort is going to play in my head.
Sharp turn. That's it. You have ruined oral sex for all the lads listening now.
I'm telling you, any lad who's getting an old BJ from now on is just going to be thinking of that song, like, traveling in a
fried up combi. Sharp turn. We were under the sheets, all going well, when I heard this voice shouting, saying, what's going on here? I heard this voice shouting, she said, what's going on here? This was the worst timing in the world, as I was just literally blowing the beans. The covers came off. We were there, balls naked. It was her mother. It gets worse. The girl that was giving me some TLC screamed, and my load went everywhere while her mother was standing over me and the daughter down on me.
Oh my God.
Every lad's nightmare.
And then the mother said,
do you come from London?
He's sitting there with a Mick Dundee hat on him, lad, covered in...
G'day.
Struth.
She shoved the mother out the door and locked it. I was in the middle of getting a triple bypass at this stage. I managed to catch my bearings and jumped out of her bedroom window and did a Houdini on it and vanished into thin air. I still get shivers when I think about it, but every cloud has a silver lining, as we met up again the night after and we went at it again, excluding the mother. Goodbye and God bless. That comes in from Mick Dundee.
That comes in from Alf Stewart from Home and Away.
You're a flyman mongrel.
Okay, last week's topic of babies. This has got everybody talking. And Darren was in touch and he just said, listened to last week's pod on the topic of babies doing mad shite. I have a good one for you about my brother when we were kids. One afternoon, my mam came into the kitchen and to her surprise, she saw a little shite on the papers she had put down for our new dog. Okay, I didn't know where that was going there. Now, she didn't think anything of it as it was being trained, so she thought this was part of the process. But was she wrong? A couple of minutes later, my brother, who was 3 at the time, came running in crying. We were all bemused as to why he was crying. His little mouth uttered the words, "I'm sorry, Mammy," as he held his arse. The little fecker had shit in the floor and blamed the dog. Mam went red in the face and couldn't help but laugh. He still gets slagged about to this day. Darren in Dunshaughlin.
Shite in the papers. Must have been reading the tabloids. And Emer emailed to say, "I thought I might throw a fact your way because I love to educate and I think it's actually something not enough people in Ireland know about. Breastfeeding in Ireland is a legally protected act.
Wow.
It is illegal to ask a woman to stop breastfeeding or to tell her to go elsewhere. To the extent where some people have lost their jobs over telling mothers to move to a bathroom to feed their child. At the end of the day, it's only a boob. And I'm sure 99% of people would rather not listen to a crying baby than have a mother feed her child in public. Now, my own story, which actually happened to my poor boyfriend, he was on the Lewis heading through Dublin one day when a woman got on with her very small child. She sits down and the child starts to fuss, so she quickly whips out the boob for the feed. Now, my boyfriend would have no problem with this, but he still is a poor little country bumpkin who wouldn't be accustomed to women's affairs happening right in front of him. So he just turned and chatted to his friend. Well, about 10 minutes later, his friend gives him a nudge to look at the woman and he's greeted by the sight of the woman with all of herself exposed to the Lewis. Clearly, this poor woman was so exhausted that as the baby had tapped one side dry and she went to swap her over to the other, she had forgotten to put away the first tit and so it was just left hanging out. Needless to say, the whole tram was left more than feeling a little bit awkward as people debated informing her or would that end up with someone getting an earful. The two lads' stop was up next and they hopped off. So who knows how long the poor woman was exposed. Would you say Atten?
I don't know. Like, it's not like going up to someone and saying, "Hey, you dropped a fiver there." It's going, "Hey, you dropped a tit there." Do you know what I mean? Put in that yolk. I don't know. You probably would. I think the decent thing to do would be to say it. It would probably embarrass her for like 5 seconds to be like, "Oh," but like probably save her in the long term. I don't know what I'd do, Anna.
I wouldn't, because I'd be afraid of getting an earful.
True.
If she wants to take out her breasts, if she wants to take out both breasts while breastfeeding, it's obviously not the ideal way to do it, but no way I'm opening my mouth.
Yeah, that
Maura,
is.
Would you say Anna if you were sitting across from her?
No, I'd just be like, no, you just couldn't. It'd be interpreted the wrong. You'd just be at risk of being interpreted the wrong way. So, yeah.
Okay.
Martina said, "Maura, I was the same as you and said I'd never breastfeed in front of my dad or basically anywhere outside the home. But when it came to it, I breastfed here, there and everywhere, even at an agricultural machinery show in Punchestown." A couple of young lads sniggered, but that was it. And to be honest, only twice was I made to feel uncomfortable, and that was by two older women. But the more the general public see breastfeeding, the more it becomes the norm.
Two old bitches.
Two old ladies. Bitches. Yeah, I see, you know, some people are just setting their ways.
Sinead emails, "Let me tell you a few things about what my eldest got up to. There was a time he kicked the bars off the side of the cot at 1 year old. My dad fixed it, but the little fecker kept kicking them out till we gave up on the cot and put him in a bed. Must be the youngest child ever to have his own bed. He didn't sleep for more than a couple of hours for the first 3 years, so my husband and I took turns, night on, night off. At age 2, I removed everything dangerous out of reach in the bathroom one day and locked the press under the sink, then locked him in the bathroom with me so I could shower. Got out of the shower 5 minutes later to find he had vanished. Houdini had jimmied the lock and was in the press with the doors shut. Then there was the time at around age 4 he started to climb out a top window. Bear in mind, our windows were childproof, as I thought. He had a leg on the windowsill when a passing neighbour started shouting for us to keep him in, to get him off the ledge as such. There was the time he climbed up on a counter and spilled everything out of a high press while I stupidly took a phone call, and he had to have his stomach pumped afterwards from swallowing Ponstan. I had to Google that. It's for period pain. Ooh. I have so many stories of this child that when his cousins meet up at family gatherings, they say, tell us the stories again, and laugh and laugh. I tell you, I wasn't laughing. Miracle he and we survived his childhood, and I still have nightmares about some of those days. But he grew up to be sound, solid, amazing young man. We used to call him Spider-Man, but you know him as Neil. Neil the intern.
Oh my God.
Spider-Man sitting across the room from us. Hey, how did you feel after swallowing all the period pain stuff? Moving on. Yeah. Just moving on. We'll come back to period pains and young men.
Oh my God, that is excellent. On last week's mystery topic, which was kids at wedding, Maura has divided the nation here with this one. And an anonymous person was in touch and said, hi Johnnies, please keep me anonymous. I have a story about kids at weddings. I was at a wedding in Cork a few years ago. There was no kids allowed except the bride and groom's nieces and nephews. One of the girls was in a dress and wandered onto the dance floor and started peeing all over the dance floor.
Ooh.
I swear the River Nile came out of her, completely ruined the mood because they had to clean the dance floor. Jesus Christ. Like,
what age are you looking at there?
Like? That child is going to be in big trouble if I'm their parents. You know what I mean? Big, big trouble.
Getting a talking to.
You a stern talking to outside.
Jade said, I won't have children at my wedding, but I'm very much against having flower girls or page boys only for the ceremony. If these kids mean that much to you to have them as part of your bridal party, surely you'd want them at the meal and the afters. I just think only having them at the church and for pictures is not on. I feel like it's basically using them just for nice pictures. From Jade.
I don't think like, you know, you're using them like they're not performing monkeys or anything. Like they're just, you
props.
Know, yeah, yeah, they're not. They're just part of the wedding. But I think the thing about having them at the church and having them at the meal and stuff like that, the difference there is you're not pissed in the church.
Yeah.
But you're going to be fairly boozed up by the time that meal finishes.
So you're having them at the wedding, you're sending them home when the band starts?
Yeah, no, you're sending them home like before the meal.
Before the meal?
Yeah.
So they're not coming to the hotel at all?
No. No.
Oh, then you're just having.
Yeah, but I don't really want the kids around alcohol. Like, there's going to be alcohol flowing. As soon as you set foot in the hotel, lad, you're on it. You know yourself.
So are you going to have a little page boy at the wedding?
Yeah.
Definitely. And then, and where's he going then?
Someone's going to mind him. I don't care. He's not my child. It's not my responsibility. I'm not going to be like, oh no, who's going to mind the page boy? I'm going to be like, you know.
We get a bus. We get Dini in the bus to collect all the kids.
Yeah, and Dini can mind them as well if he wants.
Yeah, fucking children. Yeah.
Dan emailed and said,
Dan!
He can't hear me.
He's not heard me.
Lads and Maura, I married just over a year and it was by far the best day of my life for the simple crack that was had. And I married the missus, so happy days. But mainly this was down to no kids being allowed under 16. I've 22 nephews and nieces.
Damn.
12 of them are under the age of 16. My group of friends have 10 kids, all under 5 years old. And her friend's cousins, there were over 20 kids under 10. That's a possible 42 kids under 16 at my wedding. There was 200 adults invited, 160 came on the day, but it could have been 20% of my guests that didn't drink. That meant parents disappearing at 9 and 10 o'clock to put those kids to beds, friends not attending the residence bar because the childminder they booked had to go home. Johnny B will like this part though. It wasn't a deciding factor in our decision, but it will be for a lot of couples. Cost, €40 per child for the dinner, approximately. €1,600 to feed little germ monsters. And that's from Dan. I mean, when you put it like that,
42 kids would kill a wedding.
Oh, lads, yeah. Like I will have kids at my wedding, but they'll be kids who are able to look after themselves. You know what I mean? They'll be 10, 11, 12, like, and up, like. You know what I mean?
Only a handful.
Yeah, only a handful.
You're not even giving them dinner.
I am giving them dinner.
You said they weren't coming to the hotel.
Yeah, but I'm talking about, like, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7-year-olds, like.
Yeah?
They won't be gone.
Who's going to the hotel? What's your cutoff? Like, you have to be over 5.
You have to be, no, you have to be probably, I would say, over 10.
To come to the hotel?
Yeah.
So, like, you have relations, whatever, that are between 5 and 10 years old.
Yeah.
They're not coming to the church.
No.
Okay.
It's going to be divisive when when it eventually comes. Like, they'll all probably hate me. But
some of your relatives are finding out now.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, that is probably true. But I'm telling you, When you're like dancing around to Dropkick Murphys at 11 o'clock and like lads are popped up, you know our friends, they're mental.
Yeah, but I'm saying have them for the dinner if you want, but like.
Yeah, don't really mind. But again, like
they're not contributing that to the crack, are they?
And it's 40 quid, you know, and it's probably more, to be honest, where we're having the wedding, it's probably more for a kid.
Yeah, no kids. Right. On money, right? On the boom. On the boom, our favourite topic, the Celtic Tiger. One listener said, growing up, I knew nothing other than getting what I wanted. Like, we wouldn't have been posh. My dad had three jobs on the go and was just money driven. Like, we thought we had money like everyone else. But when the crash came, we lost everything and it took us a while to get over it. And as I got older, the more I knew how bad it was, but also how good we used to have it. The best story Dad ever told was when he was head barman at a wedding. The chap that was getting married was and still is one of Ireland's wealthiest men. As the night went on, the bar closed, and we'll say it was around 3 a.m. when the groom's brother, another wealthy man, came up to Dad, asked him for one more round. And Dad, being the sound chap he is, he threw out a few drinks. So we'll call the groom's brother Mr. X for safeness. Oh, he sounds like a fucking superhero or something, doesn't he? Mr. X had paid and went to shake my dad's hand as a gesture. He had 2 €50 notes stuck between his fingers and told Dad to enjoy himself. So after another couple of hours, Dad went out to Mr. X saying he was finishing off. Would you like another round on the house? They accepted. As Dad was locking up, Mr. X came over to shake hands again, but this time he had a ball of 50s. And he put them in Dad's jacket pocket. Like a typical Irish dad, he was like, no need. But he had no choice. The ball was around €500.
Oh, yeah.
Few months passed and Mr. X was hosting his 40th birthday and had requested Dad to be head barman at the event. So he did. All the big shots in Irish politics, TV, sport and so on were at this event. Tips were flying in from what he used to tell me. The end of the night again, they were sitting around the outside of the residence bar. This place is out in the countryside. So he called Dad out to have a drink with himself and his wife, the brother and the wife of Mr. X. There was 2 ex-Taoiseachs sitting at the table. And the way Dad tells this, as if it was a scene in The Godfather, he sat drinking with them until the early hours of the night and was getting up to go home when Mr. X said he'd walk him to the door, where he handed him a brown envelope telling him, this is for you and everything you've done for the last few weeks. Do you know how much was in the envelope? €1,500 thank you. It really just goes to show things were much easier back then. No one had a care in the world and everyone mixed with everyone, no matter who you were or what you are. Different now, they would look down their nose at you. Take that story whatever way you want. And if you want to hear who it is, I want the mug.
Oh.
I don't know if people mixed more back in the Celtic Tiger.
I don't know. I was just saying this, yeah. It was like back in the Celtic Tiger, there was such a thing as like VIP clubs. So like some nightclubs in Dublin and some pubs were like members only. You had to pay like €2,000 a year to be a member to actually get into the pub.
Yeah.
So like that doesn't exist anymore. So I'd probably say the opposite. I think you'll find famous people wherever they are. I don't think they give a shit. They just want to get pissed. We did actually find out who that was. And I was shocked because I've heard stories of that lad being a miserable F-U-C-K-E-R, meeting teachers on the lash. This was a big one. When I told the story that one of my teachers I met him at a house party.
Yeah, yeah.
And an anonymous listener said, well, lad, just listen to the podcast and the part about meeting your teachers. It brought up an old memory for me. We were out after a county final in sixth year. And on the way home, we stopped into the chipper for grub, where we ran into our Spanish teacher, who was absolutely balubas drunk. We convinced him to take the owner's push bike and cycle it down the street. He hit a pothole, wobbled for a bit and landed on his face on the road. He called us to a meeting Monday morning and made us all swear to secrecy. So if this makes the podcast, will you keep it anonymous? We surely will.
As long as he made them swear in Spanish.
I've got some friends who are teachers, like, and I've often asked him that, and he's like, and like some of the lads will be like, oh, I don't want to go out there, like all the students will be there. Yeah. Some does.
Another listener said, last year I was at Indy with my friends and we were at one of the stages. Anyway, we saw someone a few meters in front of us and realized it was a teacher from our school. None of the others wanted to say hi to her, but I convinced them to follow me up and I went first. I said, hi, Moon Tour, Conas a Tatu. Now, this was early afternoon, but it was obvious she already had a few drinks in her. And the first thing she said to us was, and will she have a goal? Not a responsible question for a teacher to be asking students who were 17 at the time, but we'll leave it off. Oh, and yes, this did happen during the Two Johnnies Sunday Mass at Independence. So I'm presuming she's a big fan of Ireland's number one podcast.
Oh, hey.
By the kid. It's the first thing your teacher says. Are you drinking? Yeah. Ask Helga.
They also attached a photo as well. They got a big photo taken with her.
Yeah,
fair play to her.
She's young enough.
Yeah, she's young. She's a bit of crack. On Noel's news last week, Laura was in touch. She moved to Burundi recently and got such a land when Noel spat out about the death of President I'm as bad as Noel now.
Go on.
Nkurunziza.
No, and you'd be laughing at Noel now.
Big news, big shock. Rumour has it he died from COVID. The irony is he has given a national address and proclaimed that God has spoken to him and has chosen to save the Burundians from COVID. He also kicked out the WHO, World Health Organization representatives, during the pandemic. Can confirm gospel music was the only thing played on the radio in bars, restaurants, even taxis. Also, the president's debt and legacy was the only thing allowed to be reported on the radio and TV broadcasts. No other news allowed for the 7 days of mourning. And as far as leisure activities of who's on top of who, I'm sure they had a say on it, as it's a madhouse here, but genuinely did get stopped from going on my run by armed police as they blocked the route that usually many locals in groups take on Saturdays. So that's Laura, who's living out there in Burundi.
Mad world.
Noel is always right.
When he says that's a fact,
he means that's a fact.
He means it. Now,
tell the good people, John.
Equally important, hashtag save our chicken rolls. Dara was in touch and he spells it D-A-R-R-A-G-H. So you know he's not messing around. Well, lads and more, I got myself a chicken fillet roll in Sandyford, Dublin. Cost me £4.50 and was absolute dirt. No taste out of it whatsoever. Absolutely
outrageous.
Hashtag save our chicken rolls. Sandyford, pull your socks up. You've been warned.
Another anonymous listener said, I don't know why they want to be anonymous.
Put your name to it. Stand up.
I was out in Carlingford and went into the deli bar and got a plain chicken fillet roll. Went up to pay and it was €7.50. That is an absolutely outrageous price. That is crazy.
Carlingford, nice town, bad price.
That's it.
Connor emailed saying, well, bye. So I got up early today and went to Kinsale for a morning swim. The best decision I've made in ages. Came back into town and went to Smith Centre and got a chicken roll for €3.50. It was unreal.
That's a bit more like it.
Now, who is getting the podcast mug?
Oh, man. If it doesn't go to the fella who got the watermelon sugar. it has to be.
The man from the land down under.
The man from Del Monte, lad. Mick Dundee himself.
Maura, how are you feeling about that?
Ah, yeah. That was a class email.
Yeah, it has to be. So, Mick Dundee, you can email podcast@thetwojohnnies.ie with all your contact details and Maura look after you from there. We get the mug out you as soon as possible. Now, the weekly roundup. What's been going on in Two Johnnies land? First of all, I attended a wedding this week.
Yeah.
A Zoom wedding, yeah. So Annie's brother, who listens to the podcast. So first of all, congratulations, Brendan and Danny.
Congrats, Brendan.
They had a wedding on Zoom. So all the family back home in Ireland were able to watch it because we were meant to come home to Ireland to get married. But obviously with COVID and stuff like
They're living on the other side of the world.
Living on the other side of the world. So they had a Zoom wedding.
Hey, do you know where they're living? Down under.
Down under. There you go. Yeah. Just segueing into different stuff. It's unbelievable. You're such a good presenter now, John.
No, it would have been a segue if we'd started this correspondence. Yeah. So what, he got married and you watched it on Zoom?
And we watched it on Zoom, yeah. So they just set up a camera at the top of the church we were able to watch it.
Were you able to hear okay?
Yeah, it wasn't too bad actually, yeah. The Wi-Fi wasn't too bad, in fairness. It was gas watching it, like, because, do you know, we were in, like, Annie's home house and then there was other people were in their own houses. So, like, everyone was tuned in. It was mad to see. I felt, for the entirety of the wedding, like I was in Eurovision. Like, I just thought any minute, like, they're going to come live to us and going to be like, do you have the scores for Latvia? Like, that's honestly what it felt like. And then, like, when it was like, you're now husband and wife. And then, like, everyone was like, way! I felt like I was, like, taking part in some sort of a Zoom TV show or something. It was gas, but it was mad. That's how times are changing.
How long was the ceremony?
It's quick enough. It was a civil ceremony, so it was in and out job. And it did get me thinking. I was like, you know, Annie's mam's a traditionalist. I was like, listen, you know what I mean? It was fair quick there. You think all the drinking time we could have? yeah, it wasn't received that well. But yeah, no, it was gas. Mad to see. Mad experience.
Sign of the times. No other big news this week. We're working away on a couple of projects we can't tell you about. One we can tell you about is we're making a new music video.
We've got a new single coming out very, very soon.
Yeah, and it's actually a deadly song. So, as opposed to our other songs, which were dirt. No, this great song. So, we're looking for you, the podcast listeners, to be in the video.
Yeah, you can be a star of the... We've made stars of people in our videos before. You know, you could join that long, illustrious list.
If you want to do it, so go on to the twojohnnies.ie and you'll see a tab there where you can upload a video of yourself. Camera must be sideways, you know.
Landscape, as they say.
In the business, yeah. Don't be shaking it. Ideally, put it up on something, have nice lighting, and dance in your kitchen.
Yeah.
With kitchen utensils. The madder it is, the better. You can dress whatever way you like. The more zanier and interesting it is, the better chance you have of making the final cut.
Yeah. Now, there are some terms and conditions. You'll see them on the twojohnnies.ie. You got to be over 18. It's probably the main thing.
Yeah, and it only needs to be 20 seconds long, and we don't need the sound.
Yeah, we don't want the audio, so turn your phone into landscape mode, do the video, upload it, and lads, he could be a star.
Wow.
Yeah, you can look at your face on our YouTube forever.
You were enjoying Leo Varadkar quoting Mean Girls.
Yeah, do you know what? Like, it's like Anton. People in Ireland now just want to get, like, a lot of people giving out about, just be like, oh, he's not taking it serious. Like, do you know what I mean? This is a time, the country's been through absolute torture. If we can't have a bit of a giggle and something a little bit fun, that's us, we're Irish, we're humorous, like we all love a laugh. So like, fair play to him, I think it's a bit of crack. The one thing that really troubled me though about Varadkar's speech, great news on like gatherings and great news on accelerating this whole process.
Okay.
But that man needs a haircut. It's unnerving me. I can't look at, he's thin on top. He's thinning.
He's Leo, a little thin.
I'd say he's stressed off. He's bollocks, I'd say, for the last while, right? But I don't understand why he hasn't gone for the home haircut.
Like what? Just two all over or something?
Yeah, or even like, you know, just get like one of your mates to cut it. Like, I cut your hair.
Yeah, but he was cocooning with someone. They could have like had a go.
That's what I mean. Like we can cocoon together at the start.
It's almost a badge of honour now.
Yeah, the home haircut.
Yeah, but you see like women who are showing their greys and all. It's almost a badge honour to say, I haven't broken the social distance. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, listen, I'm not buying that. He needs to tidy himself up. I would be more worried about my appearance. So if I was Leo, to be honest, if I was Leo, I'd probably shave the whole head. Because he, let's be honest, he's losing anyway, isn't he? The hair.
A bit of hair keeps him looking young.
Yeah, but he could like shave that and grow a big beard. And then he'd be like... Pure scary out then. Like.
I just start taking steroids.
Yeah, and, like, he'd be like a bouncer.
Get a sleeve tattoo on his arm.
Yeah, he'd be like a bouncer, lad. I tell you, people take him fair serious then. He develops a big deep voice.
Yeah, a big neck tattoo. Yeah. Stay in your house, I'll bet you. Ah, look, I don't think there was that many people giving out.
No, but people always do. Like,
yeah, look, it's a bit of crack. And I think if you can't have the crack...
What's the point?
What have you got? That's my issue with the Bible.
Right.
No, hang on, hear me now. How long is the Bible? The Bible's like a million words long.
I haven't sat down and read it now.
Right? It's like a million words long. And it's like God writing a letter to all his children while he's going out.
Yeah.
Right? Not one joke in it.
I don't think that was his intention, Johnny, to be honest.
Yeah, but the book is long enough.
Yeah, but it's not fucking written by Roddy Dyle, like, do you know what I mean?
Are you telling me, like, he couldn't have found one line for a quip? There's a bit in it about stone and fortune tellers. Well, he couldn't find one line for a bit of a gag. Keep people interested.
He's not Michael McIntyre, like.
Yeah, but if there was a couple of gags, maybe more people would read it.
Okay, being released very soon, the Two Johnnies Bible.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you've never read the Bible, but if it was hilarious.
We'll write our own Bible and replace, like, you know, Matthew, Thomas, Luke and Judas and all that with just, like, chalk ice. You know, Gonzo.
Sparrow. Big James.
The 12 Apostles.
You know what I mean?
Two Johnny's Bible coming soon to you. Right, that's it for the weekly roundup.
Don't forget to sign up to Two Johnny's Extra Podcast every Thursday if you want another dose of us. More burning issues. Johnny's Mam Trish has a segment. There's quizzes. There's 30 seconds of truth where we have to answer any question put to us. It's out every Thursday and it's absolutely class.
Yeah, and on this week's podcast, we discussed our memories of Bebo. Remember that? Sharing the love.
Oh my God, that was electrifying, that conversation. Bebo Stunner. Good looking girls would there was a pose too. You would like pout your lips, duck face. Mm. And it would like show your, it would emphasize your cheekbones. Okay. And then you would kind of lean back and you would look, you'd almost roll your eyes and put your two fingers like at your cheek. So it'd be like the Bebo stunner pose.
Yeah, yeah. My abiding memory of Bebo is blusher. Man, if you look back on photos from around 2007, women's cheeks were like, they were like Pinocchio.
They're coming to get you.
They were just red raw. They were like they'd been grated with a cheese grater. I'm talking bright red. Like,
people weren't as good at makeup back then as they are now.
And eyebrows. No one had an eyebrow in 2007.
You couldn't get an eyebrow.
But like,
hey, but you're talking about Bebo stunners. Now it's like just pictures of your arse.
Yeah.
On Instagram.
How far it's changed from like, yeah, women posting bikini shots now on Instagram to like a young one like doing a stupid pose like with scandalous makeup on Bebo.
You might get a bit of neck.
Yeah. That was it. Like, you would not see a boob on Bebo. Not a sausage of a boob.
Couldn't be got.
Now, we'd probably all like to lose a bit of weight, but what if your starting point was 26 stone? Well, for our next guest, that was the case, and she's inspiring the nation with her weight loss journey. We caught up with Trisha Lewis, a.k.a. Trisha's Transformation, earlier in the week.
And we're live.
Just like that.
Just like that.
Trish, welcome to the podcast. Thanks so much for coming in. How are you?
Flying it. Thank you so much for having me.
It's great to have you. We love having women on the podcast.
Yes.
Creeps.
Look, for people who don't know you and your story, how would you introduce yourself to them?
So my own name is Trisha Lewis and I run the Instagram page Trisha's Transformation. I'm 32 and I'm on a mad weight loss journey and it's just great crack. So I'm the executive head chef of Jacobs on the Mall and...
In Cork,
but I'm a Limerick woman, so we're going to clear that up.
From Kilbeheny.
Yeah, Kilbeny. Kildare.
Okay, well then take us back. Your journey started. How long ago? Or okay, we go back. You said you were big and realised you wanted to turn things around.
Yeah.
But was it a gradual thing or was there a light bulb moment?
It was very dramatic. It was like, it was none of this gradual. So the max I had hit was 27 stone one on the scales and I booked a gastric bypass in Belgium. And then my sister had met me. So I have eight sisters and we were very close and they were like, look, if you're going to step foot in that plane, would you not just step foot in the gym and just see would it change? And I was like, oh, good point. I was like, can't really argue that one. So I cancelled the gastric bypass and then it was December of 2017, I suppose, everything just went for me. I just wasn't happy. I was very upset myself, obviously. Being 27 stone's not great. Like, it's not great for the old limbs and the old brain, you know.
What height are you?
I'm 5'5", so. But it kind of strangely just went to my stomach area. Like, my legs, I was like a chicken. Like, it was so annoying. I was like, will you just distribute? Because, you know, when you see people, they're like, oh, I'm 15 stone. I'm like, are you?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's spread well.
You carry it very well.
Yeah, but I unfortunately got it all lobbed onto the back, the sides. But it was grand. So then in December 2017, I suppose it was kind of the worst Christmas I've ever had in my entire life. I didn't have any crack and I was just really sad. And I could see it in all my family. They were so stressed. Like, I said, they're like, oh God, she's eating turkey. I'm like, but it's a lean meat. I'm so confused. But then in January 2018, my sister was expecting and she got a bit of a fright and it was on a Sunday. So we had to go straight up to the hospital with her. And it just happened that the two of us were home together on our own. And baby was fine. Checked everything. We were there for hours. And I remember I was so pissed off because I had missed bingo in Kilbeny. That was my only outlet. And I was like,
the highlight. Oh.
And it was like the good week with the jackpot. I was like, fuck's sake, you and your bump. But no, I was. But I
one
was
of
just
the neighbours
so
is going to win that
yeah,
now.
Yeah, someone picked, yeah. So then we came out of it. And in fairness, she came straight at me and she was like, I'm so sorry. I have to put this on you, but I can't eat. I can't sleep. I can't imagine me having a baby when my sister is going to die in me. I'm so scared. So then about 2 weeks later, the light bulb moment hit when she texted me and she said, look, it's the first Monday of February. Will you do me one favour and just try? That's all I'm asking you for. I'm not asking you to lose weight. I'm not asking any of that. But she said, like, my baby needs you just as much as we need you. Very dramatic. Mm. So I text back honestly and I was like, no, I can't do it. I'm done. I said, I give up. I'm so sorry for what I've done to all the family. I've hurt people in the past and I've just ruined everything. And that was it. I got up out of bed and within an hour I was at the gym. Wow. For some reason I just had a light bulb moment and I was like, no, I'm not giving up. And I was like turning 30 the next month and I was like, fuck this, I'm doing it. So I got up and I even shows you how bad things were, because I think anyone listening with weight will know that you're it's pretty bad. Mm. Like you feel really shit and you feel like useless. And Mam said she rang everybody after I left, because I just said, see you later, Mam, I'm going to Cork, I love loads. And she's like, did one of you say something to her? And they were like, yeah, like Marie was like, I did, what's wrong? And I was like, what was different, Mam? She was like, you opened the windows on the way down. So it just shows you that I didn't even pull curtains. I just didn't want to be around. And that was it. And it just started the mad journey of joining the gym. And I'd no workout gear. I'd no sports bra. I had nothing. I was like, I just had a load of cash. And I was like, pretty woman. I was like, I have all this money. Can you help me? I was like, I'm going to die. You know? And I'd say the gym were like, Jesus, calm down. But no, they were amazing.
Can I buy skinny?
Yeah.
Take my money.
Give me now. So that was it.
And Trish, like, you say you were, what, 27 stone, was it? Like,
So I was actually 26 stone at that stage. I'd lost 14 pounds. I was delighted.
And like, how unhealthy were you? Like, when you say you were close to dying, like, you were bad.
Bad. And I was smoking 20 cigarettes a day for 18 years. I never did a weekly shop. So I always kind of got away with, like, I was always pudgy. I was always like a well-insulated. I never needed a jacket.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I was always like, do you know, one of those people going, how are you wearing short sleeves in the snow? I'm like, because I'm fat. All right? That's why. But I always thought I'd fix it. But then I suppose 2017, that's when I felt unhealthy. I couldn't walk. I couldn't go up flights of stairs. Like, if I dropped a biro, my sisters were gone very good at picking things up before I'd have to, like, the steering wheel. I couldn't fit in my car properly.
Yeah.
And when I'd fall asleep, that's when it was scary, because I'd wake up gasping for air. So I was beginning to shut down.
Yeah.
And what were the things that happened? Like, how did you get into that rut, say?
Yeah, how did it get so bad?
Yeah.
Like, I suppose the obvious answer is too much food. But it's kind of, I suppose, it manifested in loads of different ways. I always put everyone before myself, or, you know, I always kind of did crash diets. Like, I would lose 4 stone, like, in the space of summer, but I'd have 6 stone by December. Just never looked after myself, and I always thought I'd be able to fix it tomorrow. I never addressed the real problem that I was eating for my feelings. I don't even like takeaway food. I prefer, you know, like fish and potatoes. I much prefer it. And so it was kind of portion control is wrong. So from a very young age, I was always having huge portions. Mm. And I would have a dinner with Nana and have a dinner with Mam.
From a family of eight?
Nine.
How are you getting big portions? You must have been rich.
I wanted the rest of them are so fucking skinny, because I was taking it all. Do you know, that's the thing, like.
But you're a qualified chef.
Yeah.
So you know about food.
I knew everything.
You know. And were you cooking for yourself? Or like, obviously being a chef is a stressful job. Yeah. Like, were you then eating on the go all the time? Or?
So I would kind of like have huge gaps between my meals, and then at 10 o'clock at night have a bowl of mash, because it was left over and it wasn't used.
Yeah.
You know, who's having a bowl of mash? There was no correct decisions I would make. But the thing is, like, I think with obese people, you look and you kind of go, fat, lazy, couch potato, useless. That's the stigma around them. I was running one of the most successful restaurants in Cork City, but putting all the energy into something else, but not addressing that the problem was actually me.
Yeah.
Do you know, if I put even 10% into it, but it would have been portion control and no regard, no conscious decision. If I was having 4 lattes, that I'd be like, they're not calories. And that's what, and it just, and I suppose the more kind of sadder you get, the more you don't want to do it.
Yeah. So then you went to the gym the first time.
What was it like?
Horrible. So scary. It's awful, like, because you're like, oh God, they're going to judge me. When that's the only place they're meant to be in. But like, they were amazing, but it was all kind of inner kind of battles. But I kind of knew I was backed against a wall, that if I didn't do something about it, I would have to go back and get the gastric bypass, or, you know, just die. So I was like, all right.
Because
so
sometimes I think people can build it up in their head that the gym is quite a daunting place, and that's people shaping and.
Yeah, I know. I'm definitely one of them people, like, you know, and like, I'm not majorly, like, you know, out of shape or anything, but like, I'd have this thing in my head that, like, I go to gym now, everyone's going to be looking at me.
Yeah.
And I think it is something that's common with people who aren't, you know, aesthetically, you know.
Asher, if you're not ripped, you feel,
you nearly feel out of place. Like, yeah.
But they don't, like, that's what I found with the gym. It's the safest place in the entire world. No one gives a flying shit about you.
Yeah.
The fellow who's ripped flexing in the mirror is not looking at you.
He's only looking at himself. Yeah. 100%,
because he's worked so hard to get those shreds, like, away, or whatever you call them.
Yeah.
Like, six pack, I don't know. But like,
where'd you
get, you know,
shreds, lad?
But I remember I was so scared, and I wouldn't even look in the mirror, and I trained in a private room, and like, just hated it. And then one day I decided, right, I'm going to go upstairs, I'm going to face the fear. And about 3 weeks into it, I remember these three guys came against me, and I was like, fuck, they're going to take a photo now or laugh or something. And as I was walking down, they're like, your name's Trish, isn't it? And I turned around and I was like, yeah. And they were like, fair play to you, keep going. And then as I walked up, I checked again to see why they're laughing, but no one was. In the gym is full of endorphins. They're the happiest fuckers you've ever meet in your entire life. But so if anyone is worried about that, just always kind of nip it and go, is this an excuse? Do I really not want to go?
Yeah.
Or am I just trying to find a reason not to?
Yeah.
Time is the big one, I think, of people. I don't have time.
Yeah.
And how did you... what would you say to people who say that? Like, how did you fix that issue?
Beyonce is the same many hours in the day and look at her arse. Like, just keep going. Like, when that was said to me, I was like, ah, true. Just kind of put the value on it. Like, choose your suffering. Do you want to have no time and feel like crap? Or get 20 minutes less on Instagram and just go and get it done. Yeah. Like, get it done first. Because, you know, you just have to get it. Everyone has time.
Yeah.
You just have to make the time. If you call yourself out in the amount of time you waste doing kind of random stuff and even thinking about going to the gym. Like, I waste so much time going, will I do a workout tomorrow? Just get it done. And it's just like 5 second rule. Think about it. Go.
Yeah. And like, you've got a massive following now on Instagram. 121,000.
Yeah,
I just checked it there before you came.
not showing off for it.
Yeah.
Where did the idea come from to like be like, right, I'm going to put this all on Instagram now and I'm going to start this journey online and let people, you know, come along for the ride with me?
It kind of backfired. I had a different plan. So, right. You know, when on Facebook, you've like added friends from house parties from years. And I was like, there's way too many people on that. So I wanted to do it. I suppose I was sick of seeing weight loss blogs as being miserable.
Yeah.
Number one. And secondly, that it was the after. And it would, that they weren't going through the journey. So I was like, what I'll do is I'll go on Instagram and I will have it all there and I'll lose all the weight and I'll do a big grand reveal like the swan. And I'm like, by the way, I documented every single thing. You can go to this page and this is how I did it, because I just think that it's not shown in the way it should be shown, that it's weight loss is actually great crack if you do it right. And within the first night there was like 1,000, all the people from Facebook were over. I was like, oh fuck, I was like, how are we getting on end? I was like, oh no. So it just went from there. And I suppose the reason it's like I do an honest account of what weight loss is, the good, the bad, the ugly, every part of it,
yeah,
was because I was using it nearly as a diary and then eyes just came on the page and it's just been bananas. It's the most crack ever. Like,
because I think that as humans, like, we don't prioritize our health enough.
No.
It's like, I have to get to the shop and I have to do this and have to do that. And at the same time, like, my skin has gone bad from not eating healthy and I'm putting on weight and my teeth, my hair is falling out and I'm not sleeping right. Like, how does that happen to us?
Like, how is it cooler to drink 10 pints and smoke 20 fags than it is to do an hour in the gym? Yeah. So that person is automatically better crack.
Yeah.
But they're going to be dead quicker, lads. You're going to have more time with the healthier ones.
It's easier to sneer, kind of, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know how it happens. Maybe it's from, I don't know, I suppose Ireland, you'd want to have notions either.
Yeah.
Like, look at your man there now with the muscles.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
No, but I think that's changing. I do think people are kind of more kind of like, well, I'm doing what I want because it makes me happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you first went to the gym, did you get a personal trainer? Like, how did you know where to start? Or
I got a personal trainer. So my personal trainer was Emma. And I've since spoke to her and she was like, you were probably one of the most depressed clients I've ever sat in front. Was I a bundle of laughs? And she was like, no, we didn't know we were going to come back. I was like, well, you laughed. They were just nervous. But I got a personal trainer and that's how I did it. And I remember she said, look, all I have for you is 30 minutes. Leave your shit at the door. Come in. I can do that and you control the rest. So that's what I did. And I just took one day at a time. And if anyone is in the position that I was in, it took me 40 weeks, 3 times per week at 30 minutes. That's all I did. I did no extra walks, nothing like that. I committed to 30 minutes, 3 times a week, and I lost 80 pounds. So
over,
it doesn't have to be like in the gym 7 times a day. Yeah. Not at all.
That was so 3 times a week for how long?
30 minutes. So and an hour and a half a week for 40 weeks.
40 weeks.
I lost 80 pounds. It's the food, it's the sleep, it's everything like together.
Wow.
And
how are you coping now with the gym being closed?
Oh my God, it was awful at start. It was awful at start. I just went a bit mad. Like, you were on about banana bread.
Yeah.
I absolutely hate it.
Yeah.
But I made about 20 loaves and I was like, well, I just had white chocolate. Will it change the consistency? the rug was pulled from underneath me because like I was laid off work, lost the gym for the first time in 2 years. I was on my own in the journey. I was doing like exercise. I was following people on Instagram and I was more looking at them than actually doing the workout.
Yeah.
So then it took 3 weeks and I decided, right, I'm just going to control the controllables. What do I like doing? And I'm going to do that. And I absolutely love it. Home workouts are my thing.
This lockdown is gas. Like, I look at me missus and she wakes up in the morning and I think she spends around 20 minutes looking at people doing workouts.
Yeah.
it's some sort of a hobby or something like that.
Yeah, and you're like, oh God, look how much she can squat there. No, and you're still sitting there
yeah.
in the towel being like, will I even bother? So I kind of, that's not for me, but it's for a lot of people as well, but it's not for me.
And like your followers on Instagram then are called the Transformers.
Yeah, I
love that name. And like, what kind of people are they? Are they people?
Hang on, are people who don't do it then? Are they Decepticons?
Yeah. Someone said that to me one day, and I was like, is this person trolling me? I don't know what this Decepticon is, because I have never seen a movie of Transformers, nothing. And they were like, we'll banish those Decepticons. And I was like, what the fuck is this woman on about?
But then
I googled it. Yeah. And they're lovely. They're so positive. They're so, they're just like, and it's not just overweight people follow me, which I think is so cool. Mm. But I thought it was people like that are size 8 are like, oh, I really related to that. I felt like shit at a wedding 2 months ago. I'm going to go out and get my walk and clear my heads. It's just every walk of life, and they're great crack like.
And I think people follow you because you're just good crack as well.
Thanks. Yeah.
Were you always a positive person?
Yeah, I would have always, like, there's no point being like, oh, I was laughing because, you know, I was a class clown. I have always had the best crack, whether if it's being inside in school, on the bus, serving mass, whatever I can do, I'll have a laugh. And that's when it got scary for me, was when I just couldn't find a laugh anymore. I was like, oh God, I'm obese. This is terrible.
Yeah.
Do you know, I'm one of those people now, damn it. Do you know, but I would have always been very positive and always laughed.
And did people say it to you? I mean, did you get comments on that when...
From positive or fat shaming? What's the
negative like?
Yeah, you would. Unfortunately, people are quite cruel. Yeah, you would. Like, people would have moved flight seats for me in a flight, and they mortified me on the flight, and it was awful. Like, my friend Cullum was on the flight, and I was like, Christ, if Cullum sees this, because I was always very cute. I would always check in last to make sure our seats were never together, because I didn't want him to see that I was getting a seatbelt extension. So this particular flight, I was like, yes, there's no one sitting beside me. I'm not going to be jammed into this. Like, and then these two people came, and like, I understand they need comfort. In hindsight, yes, I should have booked two seats. I knew I wasn't fitting in it properly. But I was going from like Italy to Budapest.
Yeah.
It wasn't that long of a flight as well. They could have relaxed a small bit.
Yeah.
Like, and they just caused such commotion on the flight. And they were like, we don't want to sit beside her. This is disgusting. And, and like, I know, Jesus. Like, I wasn't made of fucking stone. I was made of a lot of stones. But I wasn't made of stone. Like,
yeah,
I was like,
right,
I'm going to cry for a while there. So, yeah, and people in pubs and people
Wait,
would...
What would someone say in the pub?
You're a fat bitch. Hey, or, like...
What?
Ask for your number and then laugh at you, or...
Fuck.
Are you saying,
you know,
like,
elbow... Like, girls would be like, get out of... Like, you know... Or just...
I can't imagine
wide load
scenario.
Coming, or...
Really?
Yeah, it's really shit. But it's only when you get really big, I think, that people really... The bullies really come out of the corner, because the majority of people are not like that.
Yeah.
Like, they'd be normally guys like you who'd... You know, let you pass. And obviously it's uncomfortable, so I just stopped going to pubs maybe about a year before I started. I was like, I can't do this anymore.
Go away. Jesus. Were you becoming less social because of it? Like?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I was like again, my friends called me naive and all. They were like, oh, you're flaking again. Nah. And they kept calling me out on it, because they were like, we're going to keep doing it.
Yeah.
And then, like, she'll know that we're still going to invite her for coffee. But, like, you know, you're going to, like, if you walk past McDonald's, people are like, oh, go in there now, girl. And you're like, that's really fucking shit, like. I'm just walking home from work. Will you go away? Like,
yeah.
And I will go in now, because I'm sad and I'm going to eat my feelings. Look what you've done. So it never comes from a good place. But when someone tells you out of a place of love, then yeah, 100%. That's okay. But it's still hard to take.
It is. I can't imagine
Jeez.
Someone that you're close to being like, do you know what I mean? how do you say it?
It's just, it's so hard. And like, I feel so sorry for anyone in that scenario that like, you know, family members are suffering badly.
Yeah.
They can't even, like, you can see like, being 27 stone, that was killing myself slowly. Like, they, like, how are they going to,
yeah.
Like, so they tried it everywhere. They tried good cop, bad cop. They try and go join this fitness camp, and they'd be texting me about it, but I would just cut them off as much as I could. But then sometimes I'd ring them crying, and they'd be like, right, let's all jump in now and let's get it done. But then you just block them again. You just, like my sister had said, jump on every single bandwagon that the person goes on, because someday you'll be sitting beside them in the Rolls Royce, and that's what we're doing now. So just keep being there for them.
Yeah, like if you get absolutely shredded now.
Yeah.
And then, you know, your sister or partner or someone got big. Like, how do you start? What would you say?
Oh God, it's so hard. Like, but I think it would be easier to come for me, because I'd be like, come here.
You've been there.
Be careful here now, lads.
Yeah.
This is not a good slope. I think I would just sit them down and tell them that I loved them, and I was so scared and I was worried and I wasn't trying to hurt them, and kind of say that, you know, like I would say that I was there for them, and nearly along the lines that I know you're not going to do this from this talk.
Yeah.
But you will think about this when I'm gone, like, and text me or something, and just keep making sure that they know they're there, because I think you can show them all the diet plans in the world, but if their mindset is in the frame that they don't want to do it, you're not going to make them do it at all. But just make sure, I would just say, you're going to think about this when you go to sleep. send me a text and we'll jump on it together, because it's possible. It can be done. Mm. It's not the impossible at all.
And since you started the journey, like, did you ever fall off the wagon as such, like, yeah, or like, you know, because a lot of kind of weight loss journeys and stuff like that, you only kind of hear about the good parts and, like, you know, oh, I'm great and I've been, you know, like, surely you've been like, right, fuck this, I've had enough now, or,
yeah,
you know.
Oh yeah, Lord, like, I came back from Italy like a loaf of bread, came off the plane, and I was like, I can't walk. But you do, and I think it's all part of it. That's the part of it that is never sold to us. Failure is going to happen. Like, you're going to go out, like, I remember one time when you drink 10 pints and you'll have a bag of chips, but it's how you react the next day. And yeah, like, I think there's a lot of guilt and shame,
yeah,
around it, that it's kind of like, oh, aren't you meant to be? Like, my worst part is you go to a restaurant, you'd order something, they're like, are you getting that? I'm like, oh my God, are you joking me? Just take the fucking order. This is so embarrassing. But joke, because you put it out there. But I think people need to realize that it's all about balance. It's not a diet. It's lifestyle.
Yeah.
It's about living. And if you do fall off the bandwagon, that's fine. Like, and people will go, well, I've lost 2 stone and I put up 3. Well, that's just feedback. That's all that is just data telling you you've ate too much. Just reset. It's not telling you you should cry yourself to sleep or beat yourself up or not start again because you're embarrassed.
Yeah.
Who cares? This is all about a journey, and you have to take the good with the bad and just overcome and just have a bit of a laugh about it as well.
Yeah. And since you started your transformation, like, you've done some cool stuff. You've been on Late Late Show and stuff like that.
Oh, so good, boys.
How it is.
What an exclusive club we're in.
And do you know what? Like, it's cool for the person going on it, like, and like, it still obviously is very prestigious in Ireland, but I think it's class for, like, the family as well. Like,
oh my God, they're like, Maura, your lovely Maura, yeah, is the girl that actually booked me.
Yeah.
And I'd say she wanted to unbook me within a day because my sisters had found out Mary Black was on the same night. So we could only get three seats. So there was a load of them backstage swapping seats. So, and Ed Brick would come on and they were like running out, and there was just so many people so stressed. I was like, there's Liam Cunningham, he's class.
Yeah.
You know, but it was just, for the family, it was the proudest moment. Yeah, like, they were like, is that actually her on the telly? What a laugh.
And like, how does everyone else react? Like, you're still kind of, well, you're obviously not working at present because of coronavirus, but when you were working, how was that? Were people coming in to see you?
Yeah, it was amazing. Like, every second table, like, the lads are like, ugh, table 7 or Transformers. I'm like, excellent. Tell them I'm on the way. You know? But like, people are just, you know yourselves, people are lovely.
Yeah,
so they invest in your story and...
Yeah.
You know, and people, I think, with weight, everyone knows somebody that has suffered badly with weight and has no self-confidence, so they get it. No matter what size they're like, oh, well done. You know, you helped my... You know, and people are just very kind.
Yeah.
I love taking selfies. That's coronavirus ruining my plans. I can't hug people anymore.
Yeah, how's it been? You're a bit famous now, like.
I'm telling you. Well, I wouldn't like it. That makes me embarrassed because I'm like... Soft, like, but it's cool. I love it. The power that I have. Watch out, Mr. Higgins. I'm on the way.
And like, what's the end goal? What are you hoping for? Like, you know,
with this was just continue on being happy. Like, yeah. I think a lot of times with weight loss journeys, you're looking at the destination. You're like, right, once I get to 12 stone there now, I'm going to be fucking sorted. I'm going to go on a holiday and I'll be delighted. I'm not doing that. I'm going to be happy right now. Mm. No matter what size I am, no matter, like, I'm chasing the journey. So if I can continue on being happy, if I can continue on inspiring people, having the crack and showing them that weight loss doesn't need to be miserable. Like, you don't have to have broccoli and be sad. Yeah. You know, you can have, just have your broccoli and smile and have a bit of, I'd like to just change the face of obesity a small bit and go, it's all right, like, don't be embarrassed.
Yeah.
That's my end goal. I'd love to do radio. I'd love to do media. I'd love to do everything, I suppose. You know yourselves, like, so many opportunities pop up that you're like, class, I never thought that was my dream, but I've dreamt about this all my life.
Yeah.
With the last 10 minutes, that's been the best dream of my life. Do you know? So that's what I want to do. I just want to continue having the crack.
And you've got a book out.
Telling you,
I'm holding it here.
I'm holding it as well.
Trisha's Transformation.
I know, you got 2 books.
beat the Bulge and Still Indulge. And thanks for sending it out to us. Tell us the book. What can people expect if they go and buy the book? What's in it? What's the crack?
So it's obviously, as a chef, it's got 60 recipes at the end where they're nice. They're like cool and there's not a load of ingredients.
Not all miserable broccoli.
Oh my God, they're not like, it's no, like, and that's the thing, I suppose, with the chef, I have the advantage of knowing that if I put 3 ingredients together, they're magic.
Yeah.
You don't need many other things. It's got all my story from childhood onwards, and in the middle there's like a how-to guide, there's a shopping list, there's like ditching the motivation myth. I just kind of put exactly what I've done. Like, I'm only... I'm only 30% of my journey through, so I just put in, like, I've obviously have a lot more to go.
Yeah. I look forward to book 2 and 3. Then,
I tell you guys, hint, hint, if anyone's listening. But it's just about, it's. I suppose the start is kind of miserable.
Yeah.
In the middle, it gets hopeful. And at the end, you get your dinner. It's kind of like a normal day going to school and then coming home.
Oh, my God. And you're kind of cool now. We hear you're, like, hanging out with Roz Purcell and all the influencer gang.
And taking your friends. How cool is that?
So, just for Ireland, like, if you were Minister for Health,
right?
What, like, and you'd like to see changing, or what would you say to young people or schools, or, you know, about weight and about
it needs top tips, to be? Yeah. It needs to be spoken about way more. You need to get rid of the stigma. You need to get rid of shame. You need to get rid of anything. It needs to be inside in schools. It needs to be a subject. Teaching people how to cook properly,
yeah.
What's tasty. I think it needs to be, like, Ireland is heading towards one of the most obese countries in Europe. It needs to be as a warning, like cigarettes on television, that this is happening. So I think I'd love to remove any bit of silence around it. Because at the end of the day, it's only weight. Yeah. Like, that's the crazy part of this. It's just a bit of extra fat in somebody's body. But we're so mortified and so embarrassed and kind of going, well, I can't go to the pub because they'll see how much I've changed. I think I'd love it to be I never will promote obesity. I'm never going to be one of those people going, oh, stay fat, stay happy. Yeah, not at all. Stay happy, stay healthy. Yeah. So if I could just promote health more, because I went to a school even last year in Kilbenny and we had such crack. Like, the kids are still eating pineapples and pomegranates. Like, they're shoving boring fruit down kids' throats. Like, they were like, what is a pineapple? I'm like, let's taste it. It's like, do you know,
that Limerick is a wild place.
I tell you, lads, Aldi Mitchison hasn't the pineapple left in months. But I think that's what I promote, and I would promote kind of like, get rid of all the fad diets. Like, it's hard work, but it's worth it.
Trisha, I tell you, honest to God, you're actually inspiring, and thanks a million for coming on the podcast as well. And when this is over, we must go for a few drinks because you're some crack.
Oh my God, unbelievable. Even like, what is that psychopath? And go, but it is good crack, and that's the balance of this. I still go for the pints.
Oh yeah, can I ask you, like, you know, watching the calories, where did the pints come into it?
You're on a night out. You're not doing it, like, if you're doing it every night of the week, weight is not your problem. It's something much deeper. But you just go out and enjoy it, because I think, and I don't even overthink it. Like, I'm not going out going, can I get a vodka with tap water and a dash of lime?
Yeah.
No fucking way. Like, that's awful. Own it. If you're going to go out, do it. But I don't be bitching about it the next day. Just do it. Do you know? And just get up the next day, reset, start again, and go for it. Because you work too hard to fit into nice clothes to be sitting at home in them. Why don't we out and flaunt it, like?
What, Trish?
Tell you guys.
Trisha's book is out now, and it's number one in all the charts, and it's full of useful food tips and motivation. So make sure and get your hands on that. And Trish, congratulations. Fair play to you. Number one. He's been busy putting on full camouflage gear to spy on the Rovers team to see if they've gone back training in secret. It's time for Noel Furlong, and it's time for Noel's News.
Noel's News! It's Noel's News!
And young fella.
Well, Noel.
That intro music.
Yes.
I know who it is now.
Who?
Aha!
What?
Remember that band from the 80s?
Oh, aha.
Aha.
Yeah, the way you say it has a better ring to it.
Aha. They had that song about a fella looking for a job.
What was that?
Take on Me.
Oh, you strong start this week.
Any chance of a start? Take me on. I do it for cash. Do you know that band The Cure?
Yeah.
Do you ever listen to them?
Not.
Which is, if they're the cure, it hates you the fucking disease. Cut them. Do you know that band you should get? They're very good. They kind of sound like they're Farm Supplies.
Who's that?
Hall & Oates. They're very good.
Brilliant.
Did you go back training?
I haven't yet, no.
Neither did I.
Did you not? Oh, okay. Wink, wink.
Yeah, when I wink, that means I did.
Okay. Okay, just so we get that clear.
Well, Paddy Fong got a pair of night vision goggles. Yeah, Fong is going to ref the game.
Wow.
With the night vision goggles. He was a cousin in the army. He got the old goggles off. Halloran pulled up into Pajero with the lights on. Jesse blinded him.
Did he?
Yeah, he blinded him. Fong was going on like a newborn badger. He roaring. We nearly gave him a drink to settle him.
Did she?
We nearly gave him. He went into the eye doctor and he drove himself. Now, he clipped a nice few lads on the way. But and she said he had to wear sunglasses for a week.
Fong.
For the eyes, yeah. They're calling him Petty Fonz now. He might lose the eye.
Archie.
He might lose the eye, but you can keep a good Fong down. No. Were you ever in Syria?
No.
What's the place where you said you couldn't get into all the pubs?
Oh, Galway.
Oh, yes. That's. I knew it was somewhere exotic. Neighbour of mine went to Galway. Neighbour of mine went to Galway once. He didn't like it.
Did he not? He didn't like it.
Too many stones.
What's there?
A lot of stones in Galway. Okay. They have that arch, you know, to mark the invasion of Ed Sheeran. Never forget. Now, Syria is a country.
Yes.
Just letting you know.
Okay, thank you.
Ears open now. Ears open now, okay. The president of Syria, you probably don't know him, he's not from around, Bashar al-Assad.
Okay.
His father was president before him. He inherited it, which is gas because, by definition, presidents are elected.
Yes.
Remember the time I insisted people call me Sultan?
Yeah, I do, from some weeks ago, yeah.
Because I declared independence.
Yeah.
I have dispatched my peace envoy, a.k.a. Patsy, to make contact with the Irish state.
Okay.
Patsy be tasty.
Patsy be tasty.
Patsy be tasty. Yeah. I await President Higgins' reply.
Okay.
Now, in Syria, the president's cousin was in charge of business, right? And apparently, he was getting 5% of every deal done in the country.
Wow.
Into the pocket. He also owns a big phone company. But he owes $180 million in tax.
Oh.
Fucking hard to get away with that, would he? He must have been doing a few nixers.
Yeah, just a few foxers.
He must be doing a few jobs in the evenings, that's what. I do jobs for people.
Yeah?
But I'll tell you one thing. I will never again do nixers for the farmers.
Why?
It'd be easier to get money off God. Don't even outside. He don't even owe me for welding a crush. I had to go onto his farm in the middle of the night and milk his cows. And I took away the milk. And when he went to milk the cows the next morning, the tit was dry. Dry tits.
That's
dry titties. I kept it up for months. Months.
It's an elaborate.
I didn't sleep for a whole year trying to get my money out of him. One morning, he reached in and he found yet another dry tit. I was standing in the doorway. I said, "Looking for something?" He said, "Noel, the tits are dry." I said, "I know. Where's my money, Donovan?" He said, "What money?" I said, "Don't try and cod a codder. I know when I'm being codded. I invented the cod. Don't cod me." I said, "The money for welding the crush." He said, "You never sent me a bill." It turns out I had forgotten to invoice him. Worst of all, I had codded myself. I had also dumped 500,000 liters of milk into the river, causing the local flora and fauna to go into meltdown. Valuable lesson learned. Lock your milking parlour. So President al-Assad, his cousin was bankrolling the whole regime. But he's fallen out with the president and people are starting to say it. The president is just going to take his money and bang, bang. And I always think it's awful sad when families fall out.
Yeah.
I nearly fell out with one of my brothers.
Go away.
Yeah. Well, I kidnapped his son. Right? We were over at his house for a communion or funeral or something. Something with cake. Okay. And so I put all of my lads into the trailer. You know, we were going home. And Carmen locked the kids into the trailer, usual family Sunday. And there was one lad screaming, "Let me go, you're not my father, I'm being kidnapped." But I was like, you know, kids being kids, you know, having no crack. And that night then, we dipped him and we put him up the stairs to bed. Usual crack, right? A few weeks went on and I was looking at him thinking, is he a bit smart to be one of ours? No. And I asked the wife, but Cameron at the time was big into crochet, so she kind of took her eye off the ball for a couple of years. And John Paul thought it was gas. He knew.
Yeah.
He knew. And I thought he was one of mine. I was calling him Mick. And he'd say, my name's not Mick, I'm Daniel. And I'd say, fuck you, Mick. You bollocks. I was wondering why he was so bad at driving the Hiab. He was useless.
Was he?
Ah, it turns out he was only 8 years old. he were going around the place going, I'm Dan, Mick's gone to college. I said, what's he doing in college? Quantity surveying. I said, my God, he's not. I left it off for another couple of weeks anyway, and his brother was out of the house one day. Well, he nearly fell down when he seen the young lad. What? I had the guards, they were all looking for him. I didn't know it, Hosh. I don't be listening to the old, you know, Hebrew, the old foreign channels, you know, but it was his son anyway. And I said, sure, look, you know, I get some mixed up, you know, no harm, no fault.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And we laugh about it now. And I'd be slagging him. I'd still be, you know, oh, looking forward to visiting your Uncle Noel. Ha,
yeah.
Ha, 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 ha. You don't like it. But the president's cousin, Rami Makhalouf, has gone on social media criticising the president. And this might seem normal in Europe, but in Syria, no one has ever done it and lived. Kind of like stealing from the ICA.
Yeah.
Okay. Dan stroked a butterfly bone once. Oh, Peggy Hogan stabbed him with a fork. So anyway, Syria.
Not to be trifled with.
Not to be trifled with, even though they do make trifle. But Syria have not much trifle, but loads of oil. Mm. 80% of the population live in poverty. 10 million do not have enough to eat, and 5 million have lost their homes in the civil war because there was an uprising and then the Russians came in and they just bombed the shit out of them all. So remember, there was a war in Syria.
Yeah,
there was the Islamic State, they were at it as well. The whole place is in ribbons, and much like the club championship, it's hard to know what way it'll go. So best of luck to everyone in Syria, we're rooting for you. The big news locally, Dwyer is getting a conservatory. Now, you wouldn't think it to look at him. The man looks like he couldn't afford the whole of a polo. Good mint.
Good mint, yes.
Would you ever eat a polo?
Occasionally. I heard they're good for stress.
Oh, yeah. The old polo. Well, Patsy is doing the deal work. Patsy be tasty. Patsy be tasty. He measured up last Sunday, so he should have it done by November. And then Johnny Fong is doing the blocks.
All
Paddy's
right.
Brother. Hit it a Fong. You'll hear him outside now. And Fat Clancy is on the digger. Met that man 1,000 times. Never once saw him outside the cab of the digger. Some people say he was born in the digger, lived his whole life in that digger.
Clancy.
Yeah, Fat Clancy. You should see him at the drive-thru chipper. Oh, tip the chips into the bucket. Oh, but he's some man on the digger.
Is he?
He would pick your tooth with that grabber. That's a fact.
Tasty.
Oh, Clancy be tasty. Clancy be tasty. Dwyer said he's getting underfloor heating.
Wow.
Just feel crazy. But should it's over the floor you want to heat.
Yeah, but
it... Yeah, but do you know what I mean?
It works its way up.
Yeah, but... It isn't magic, like. Did you hear who's doing the electrics?
Who?
Disco Eddie.
Disco Eddie, yeah. Is he?
Oh, Lord. You turn off the lights and the car starts. He'd have speakers everywhere. I swear, he wired Donovan's shed, the new shed, and there were disco balls over the calves. I didn't know if I was feeding calves or if I was inside the Gresham Hotel. And he had to ask John Paul to do a roof.
Did he?
Yeah. Best hands in the county, sure.
Yeah.
He'd hurled a ham out of your sandwich. He should be getting the call from Liam Sheedy any day now. They're going back.
Do you reckon?
Oh, he'd hurled the stones out of your shoes. That's a fact. Liam is aware of John Paul.
Very good.
I may have left a highlights video on his bed. when I broke into his house. It caught his eye, all right.
Did it?
Yeah, because he rang me. Just saying it was illegal and that, you know. But but if he has seen the video of John Paul, oh, whoa, he would hurl the balls off bingo. That man. He'd catch a ball out of a kangaroo's pocket.
Outrage.
First time hurling, that's the way by.
Yeah,
that's how I taught him. Pull. Leave it off. I pulled on balls over the bar. I pulled on poke outs. I pulled when the ball wasn't there at all. The roof would probably be shite. Now I must go away.
Where are you going?
Usher, Kate Ryan wants me to inspect her box. It's leaking.
Is it?
Yeah, the horse gave the door a kick.
Oh, jeez.
Horse box.
Horse box, yeah.
I said, Kate, I'll bring my tools.
Oh, my God. Poor Kate. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, God willing.
She is better than the CIA when it comes to stalking a guy she fancies online. Maura, what is your mystery topic this week?
Okay, so we're getting back to normal. The pubs are going to be kind of reopening soon. But before we do, I think there's an important issue to address, a problem we need to solve. And that's the problem of people who don't buy their round. Now, I can't think of anything more annoying trait in the person that's slow to put their hand in the bucket to get around. I have one friend now, to be fair to say, she wouldn't earn a lot of money. And, you know, you don't like putting pressure on saying like, yeah, like, you know, if it was her round, I wouldn't be ordering like, you know, the Hendrix gin. I wouldn't be ordering the fancy stuff. But then, you know, on nights out, she does have a new outfit for every night. So she's not that stuck for cash. So, and another thing that she does that annoys me is that she won't go buy her round. I could be finished my drink and she could be still drinking her drink, but she won't go up to the bar to get around for everybody until she's finished her drink, which I just think is bad form. Oh, so I want to know, lads, what's your opinions on the etiquette of buying a round, and how do you call somebody out on it if they're not doing their fair share of buying rounds?
Yeah.
Well, me being a horrible bastard, I'll just say it to their face. But it's Max, probably better to ask you.
Yeah, I think, like, we would do that. Like, you know, we always keep count of, like, whose round it is. You know,
it's absolutely sacred. You're right, Mara.
And I love drinking in rounds. The reason is, like, you don't have to keep going to the bar then all the time. You know what I mean? If you're in a group of five lads, you'll only have to go to the bar once every five times. Perfect. That's all you want.
Yeah.
And I think Most fellas are good enough to do it. As you said, Mara, there is the slow drinkers. And I would say to them, listen, just quicken up or step out around. Simple as. If someone comes in and it's like, right, come on, I'll get around. And then they're like, no, I'm taking it handy now. I'll go on my own.
That's fine.
State your intentions to go on your own.
Yeah.
Don't be like, oh, yeah, that's grand. And then be like, oh, I'll skip this one, boys. You know, I'm taking it handy. I'd be like, well, I'm after paying, you know, €5.60 there for a pint for you. Unless you wanted war off your jaw, you better get up to that bar.
So what we would do sometimes, Maura, is that Smacks can drink more than me. So if we get a couple in, we would do what's called a flyer.
Mm.
So we're on rounds together. And then if I get to a couple pints, I'm like, I might just take a handy. He'll get one on his own. And then we get the round going again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's... a flyer, as they call it. But it can be weird. Like, if I was on pints of Guinness and you were on gin and tonic, and there's a good €5 in the difference. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do that purposely, lad, just to piss you just off to sometimes, annoy me. To be honest. Yeah.
And I suppose, what do you do when you suck it up?
Yeah, this is tough shit. You should go on the spirits too, like, you know, at least get your value then.
No way.
Yeah, but like, spirits straighten you up, lad. Guinness puts you asleep.
Yeah, but it's delicious.
that is true. That is true. But I think we've all got friends who do that. And I think there's nothing worse in Irish society than being a round dodger. Like, it's a reputation. I'd rather Jesus, there's a lot of things I'd rather be known for than dodging rounds. I can honestly say that.
And like, if someone in Ireland was caught for dodging tax, he'd be like, oh, but if they dodged their round.
Oh, yeah, that's scandalous.
Excommunicate.
But there is a nice way to say it. If you're sitting in a group, it's just be like, is there something wrong with your legs? And be like, what? We're like, get up to the bar there. You know, it's your round. Like, I think fellas are good. I think girls, it can be a bit harder, like, you know, because I've often heard my own missus saying it, like, but like, for fellas, it's like, it's your round. You know what I mean? As we drank with a fella in Boston, and he kept asking the barman, it was actually the barman he was giving out to, not anyone else, and he was drinking hot whiskeys, and he'd no sooner finished the hot whiskey, and he'd call the barman over and be like, is there something wrong with the kettle? And the barman be like, what? And he'd be like, I'm gone dry, is there something wrong with the kettle there? I couldn't believe it. He did drink 27 hot whiskeys and drive us home, which was incredible at the time and very dangerous, and we wouldn't advise it. But
it's terrible. We know of a couple of famous people, Maura, who apparently...
Oh, yeah.
Some we've seen in action and then some we've heard about. They don't buy the round. And I swear to God, I can't look at them the same.
Oh, no. They're tarnished.
If you see them on television or like on social media, and they could be talking about all kinds of social justice, whatever, and I'm like, I heard you skipped your round. Yeah. I feel like calling someone out. Like, I'm going to go on Twitter, and they'll be talking about whatever people give out about on Twitter. Like,
yeah.
And I just feel like commenting, I heard you skipped a round once.
Go on, you round dodger.
Yeah, all of your arguments are null and void.
Yeah, I think that is the etiquette. If you're not on a wild one and you don't want to get into the round, say it at the start of the night and stick to it. Don't be dropping in an hour rounds, like, you know what I mean? And if someone comes up to you, right, here's the thing. So sometimes if we're in a bar, Johnny, and someone will be like, I'll get you a pint.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, no, you're grand, because like, I'm not going to be getting you back a pint because I don't know you.
I don't want to get into rounds with you.
Yeah, so like sometimes somebody wants to buy you a drink if they're like, say, a fan of the podcast or something like that, and they want to be like, no, I'll get you a drink, and I don't think they expect the pint back.
Yeah,
and I think in that circumstance, it's probably okay to buy a drink back, or it's not really dodging. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, well, I don't really know you, so. But if you're out with your friends and say we walk into the bar and I go, no, I'll get this one for you are obliged to get the next one. And I always try and make a point of, even if I'm going home, make sure I get them the last drink rather than.
Or never let it be said.
Never let it be said I dodged around. So like, I've done it before. I've been like, I'm going home there. There's a pint on for you there. I'm heading away.
Okay.
Just so.
Maura, can I ask you, what would you do if you were drinking gin and tonics that, you know, in Dublin are coming to...
Probably 13 quid, yeah.
And you're on a round with me and Smacks and we're drinking €5 pints.
Oh, yeah. See, I'd probably just drink wine then, because a glass of wine would be around the same. But then... I suppose when you're in rounds with lads, like, you know, I get drunk quicker than ye.
What?
go away, would you?
Yeah. That's why I usually end up going home at, like, if we're out, I'd be the first one home to bed.
I say nothing.
Stop.
Tune into this week's extra podcast to hear the rest of that story.
Yeah. Oh God. I don't know. You won't talk about this anyway.
If we were out and like you were drinking, you know, gin and tonic or whatever, like it wouldn't bother me. I wouldn't be like, fucking hell, Mara's drinking gin and tonic. Like it's that's just the way it falls sometimes. You know, because maybe later in that night I'll be drinking, you know, a gin or a vodka or something, and you know,
it'll even out.
What goes around comes back around.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As a guard said to us once, Maura, if you do it, it'll come back to you. And if you don't,
it won't.
It won't.
Yeah. I have one friend, and what she does is that I can't even say the cocktail that she orders, because then she'll know I'm talking about her. But she orders a cocktail that's about maybe a tenner. When it's not her around, or when somebody else is buying it, and then when it's her around, she buys herself like a Copperberg or something like that. It's just
Maura.
Yeah.
You should no longer be friends with this person. Exterminate them from your life. That's
despicable.
I've only called a person out once on not buying their round. What they did was, and I was so sneaky, it was their round, but they went off to the smoking area for a cigarette and they came back, and I was just like, I had to get you around there. And they looked at me like I was accusing them of genocide. I was like, oh, it's not worth it. I don't know.
You're well within your rights, Mara.
Like that. Yeah.
No, do it, Mara.
Yeah. And also, I think an unwritten rule that me and Johnny have as well is sometimes we get drinks for free. So certain pubs we're in will be like, you know, the barman might know us or whatever, like, or they might want to give us a drink. And we'd always say to each other, hey, I got that one for free now.
Yeah.
So as not to, like, you know, if I went up to the bar and they were like, right, oh, hey, that's for free. And I'd be like, no bother. And then I'd be like, it'd be Johnny's round next. Yeah. And he'd have to pay and I'd have saved myself like 20 quid. So you got honesty. Honesty is the best policy when it comes to rounds. And thanks to barmen who give us free drink, you really shouldn't. It has disastrous consequences most of the time. But nonetheless, Maura, that topic has got me super excited for going back to the pubs now, I have to admit. Might just go and, I know it's early in the day, but I might just go and sink a bottle of wine or something.
Thanks, Maura.
Thanks, lads.
Don't forget to rate, review, and tell your friends about the Two Johnnies podcast. Use the hashtag Two Johnnies Pod. That's the number two Johnnies Pod to get in touch. And you can email us podcast@thetwojohnnies.ie. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook. We're all over all the channels.
YouTube,
the whole lot. And don't forget to sign up to Patreon as well for more madness. You can double your dose of Johnnies for just €6 a month. And thanks a million to everyone who has signed up to that today. Now, time to round off the podcast with our
Yurts and Dirts
of the week. John B., what have you got?
My yurt is sitting right in front of you. A podcast listener from outside Clonmel there, Timmy, saw that you were struggling with hay fever and dropped in a bag of pollen. He harvested this himself from flowers and such. At first I thought it was narcotics. At the way he tried to slip it to me real secretly just because he saw that I was being paranoid. And he says, Johnny, sprinkle a bit of that on your cereal every morning and it will build up your tolerance and you will no longer have bad hay fever.
Wow. Fair play to Timmy. I haven't got to try it now this week yet. And as I hold this plastic bag, zip tight in my hand, I came in and it was on my desk in the studio the other day and I was like, Jesus Christ, like, what are you at? To Johnny, like, I was like, has lockdown broken this man? Has he turned to cannabis? And then he assured me it was pollen. And also Timmy threw in a couple of tubs of honey.
Jar of honey. Fabulous. It's real thick honey. You can't see through it. It looks like lemon curd.
Yeah. So
fabulous. Thanks, Timmy.
Yeah, fair play. My yurt and dirt is combined this week into one thing that has been, I don't know if I love it or hate it, should I love it or hate it, but it's Harry Styles' new single, Watermelon Sugar.
Yeah.
Right? The first time I heard it, I was like, that's some dog shit. And like, those lyrics don't make any sense. Like, what's he singing about watermelons for? Like, and I heard it, that was the first time I heard it. Then I heard it the second time, I was like, the lyrics are crap. Song isn't that bad. And the third time I heard it, I was like, right, it's genius. Now, I don't know, right? Because in the video, Harry Styles is surrounded by women in bikinis who are feeding him like a variety of fresh fruit.
He is sitting on the beach. It's got a 70s kind of vibe to it.
Yeah, and he's got like sunglasses on, which to me looks like he's just impersonating Elton John. And then when he performs the song live, he looks like Mick Jagger. So I don't know how original Harry is, but the song is, the lyrics are mental.
So the lyrics of the chorus are pretty much just watermelon sugar, over and over.
Yeah.
And then the pre-chorus is like, I don't know if I could ever go without
watermelon sugar.
So we've been on the internet trying to find out what watermelon sugar means. And people are alluding to some sort of sexual act.
Yeah, performed by a man on a woman.
We have tweeted at Harry for confirmation, but his press office have not returned.
Yeah. We await his reply with bated breath. But just on the video as well, it's gas, right? Me and Johnny were just saying before we come on air here, was like, if we try to make a video like that, so say Harry's on the beach, right, a load of women around him and they're all feeding him fresh fruit. If we made a video with a load of like good looking women in like GA kits and they were like, you know, giving us DVDs of Past All Ireland's or something like that,
pouring Guinness on us,
we'd be shot.
It'd be considered sexist.
Yeah.
I think
yeah. So like, Harry, you know, if you ever listen to this podcast, how are you getting away with that, pal? You know, let us know. But the song, So I don't know if it's my yurt or dirt. I'm leaning towards yurt, to be honest. It's so catchy and it's so summery. It's cool.
Harry's cool at the minute.
Yeah.
All the radio stations are playing him. All the women fancy him.
Mm.
If he came out and shot someone in his next video, I'd be fine.
Yeah.
I think so. No, that's just me.
He can't do no wrong. Johnny, finish it off. Have you got a dirt? Or?
Well, Harry Styles can't make honey. Last week I was talking about Kildarry.
Yes.
In Cork, and how everyone pronounces it with an L that it doesn't have. They pronounce it Kildallery. Mm-hmm. And we had someone onto us that they kept typing Kildallery into the sat nav. And they obviously they couldn't understand why they couldn't find where they were going. So my next one is Kilbehenny. It's near Mitchellstown there, and everyone calls it
Kilbehenny.
Well, people call it Kilbenny.
Yes, the original pronunciation would be Kilbehenny.
Yeah, everyone calls it Kilbenny, and its actual pronunciation is Kilbehenny.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm asking people from Kilbehenny, how do ye say it?
Yeah. We're going to solve. There's a lot of people going around mispronunciation. Like Ross Cray, where I'm from, Ross Cray.
Yeah.
People say Ross Gray. People say like Ross Cray. It's Ross Cray.
But there's no G in it.
No, but like people kind of say Ross Gray.
Yeah.
Yes, and it annoys me.
So if there's any more towns in Ireland being mispronounced, please let us know.
And we'll call out the mispronunciation police. So that's it from this week. We hope you all had a good week, and mind yourselves. And we'll see most of you on, or some of you on Thursday for the extra pod. So from me, Johnny Smacks.
From me, Johnny B.
From me, Maura.
We'll see you next week. Go on. Good luck.